You're listening to a podcast from 702.
The Worldview with Adam Gilchrist is brought to you by Emirates. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.
Of course, at this time, we go to the UK to chat to Adam Gilchrist to give us the world view from London. Adam, good morning to you. The weekend story, of course, that was big internationally was the Syrian airstrikes. Donald Trump now saying it's mission accomplished. Now, the last time we heard a US president say that, well, didn't go down so well, did it?
No, that's true. If you're thinking about Iraq and at the time it was hardly mission accomplished, as many years on, here we are in Iraq still isn't somehow accomplished. But yes, certainly Donald Trump suggested, I guess it's a question of what they wanted to achieve. We learned that, for instance, the French President Emmanuel Macron said he convinced Donald Trump that they should keep it as a limited strike, so specifically chemical weapons targets rather than other things. And also, President Macron says he's convinced Donald Trump to keep American troops in Syria, backing the Syrian Democratic Forces for a little while longer, at any rate. It wasn't exactly universally greeted, was it, this particular military action? And also, we all saw it coming. In fact, I think we were talking on Friday, suggesting it might be tonight, Friday night into Saturday morning, and lo and behold, there wasn't exactly an element of surprise for anyone. And yet, is there an indecent haste with it all? Theresa May, the UK Prime Minister, will certainly face some questions because she didn't consult Parliament. The last time that happened was before Tony Blair. From Tony Blair onwards, everyone's always asked Parliament, should we go ahead with this in particular? And there are some MPs with some pretty tough questions for her. Interestingly, neither President Trump nor President Macron has the same process, the same parliamentary process, so they don't have to answer those questions. So all eyes on Theresa May a little bit later today.
What do they say? Those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Now, mass protests in Hungary over the re-election of Prime Minister Viktor Orban.
Yeah, interesting this, because there was an enormous pro-Orban demonstration last month. We've now had the Hungarian election, and lo and behold, the right-wing Fidesz party has won, and Viktor Orban is back in power, and now we've got this enormous anti-protest. Tens of thousands of people, pushing 100,000 or more, took to the streets of Budapest to protest at what they say is an unfair electoral system. In an awful lot of countries in the world, I have to say that Viktor Orban won, well, over 50%, more or less, of the vote, and two-thirds parliamentary majority in most countries. That's an enormous, great big stake, and a huge democratic backing. I think UK governments can but dream of 50%, for goodness sake, but he's such an enormously divisive character. He basically blames all the ills, all the worries, and all the concerns Hungary has on immigration. And the problem is, a lot of people suggest, you know, where does that end up? You end up with anti-immigration policies and worse. So you get the idea why people are vexed. But at least it was a peaceful protest. You can't always say that.
And, of course, a successful conclusion to the Commonwealth Games down under.
Yeah, I think the games themselves were good. I'm not sure about the opening and closing ceremonies, and I hold my hands up to be, I'm never a fan of any of them. Even Beijing, I wasn't entirely sure about, and that was probably the most spectacular one of all, certainly in recent times. And that closing ceremony that didn't involve athletes, or at least didn't picture athletes, and then the stadium emptied, really, before anyone had done, and the speeches went on forever. But let's not carp, the Commonwealth Games themselves were very good. And the way they embraced the integration of Paralympic sport into the main events was a big success. The fact they embraced a lot of political issues, actually, instead of saying, no, politics doesn't belong here, they acknowledged that actually there are some gender equality and sexual equality issues there. A record-breaking medal haul for the home nation and for Wales. I believe South Africa did pretty well. England came second in the table, but the medals was a downturn. But you know what? If nothing else, you get the diversity through the Commonwealth Games. Hopping from Delhi to Glasgow to the Gold Coast in Australia and next up Birmingham. I mean, you're kind of seeing all sides of everything, aren't you, really, with those four cities?
Indeed, and it should have been Durban, but let's not go there. Thank you, Adam. Every day on the Emirates Worldview Now, of course, we always ask you to send us a question on any world topic you want to know more about. And today's question comes from @Mrs. Murangari. who tweeted, "Why is rum mostly made in island countries such as Jamaica, Mauritius, etc., and not as much on, or at least from landlocked countries? Hashtag Emirates Worldview." Now, to get to the answer, we spoke to Rowan Lebrandt, owner of Truman and Orange Fine Liquor Merchants.
It's actually less to do with why is rum made on islands versus versus big continental places, but it's more just to do with the colonial history of the places where rum is from. So the French and the British had a colonial relationship with the Caribbean. That was where their sugar was grown, so that was naturally where they made their rums. And, you know, there were loads of Caribbean rums the French and the British drank for hundreds of years. Whereas the Spanish and the Portuguese, they had a colonial relationship with places like the Philippines, which is an enormous rum market. You know, we're in the English-speaking world, so we tend not to hear about it. But the Spanish and the Portuguese were growing sugar in that part of the world. So, for example, Dom Papa rum is a Filipino rum that comes from the traditional source of Spanish sugar, which was kind of their colonial plantations in the Philippines. And the Spanish and the Portuguese, they were happily drinking rums from islands in that part of the world. So, it's kind of less to do with being on islands versus the mainland. It's just this kind of historical colonial anomaly.
And the colonial legacy, I suppose, is still with us today. Congratulations to @MrsMurangari for having your Emirates Worldview question answered. You've won 1,000 rand courtesy of Emirates. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.